This third trade policy review has allowed us to understand better the efforts undertaken by Sri Lanka to continue its economic reform process, keeping overall an open approach to trade and investment, notwithstanding important domestic and external challenges. Our discussions have benefited from the participation of Mr. Dilak Kolur, Secretary of the Ministry of Industry and Commerce, Mr. Gomi Senantra, Director General of Commerce, Ambassador Silva, Permanent Representative to the WTO, and their delegation from Colombo and Geneva. We thank Ambassador Tan for her valuable contribution as a discussant and members for their constructive engagement in this review. Sri Lanka was praised by WTO members for its solid economic performance over the period under review, despite the internal strife, the global economic crisis, and a major natural disaster. In particular, members commended Sri Lanka for almost doubling its per capita GDP during the review period. Members encouraged Sri Lanka to build on the return to peace and stability in order to deepen the reform process so as to achieve sustainable economic growth and development and further improve the living standards of its population. While noting that Sri Lanka had weathered the effects of the global financial crisis relatively well, members highlighted the importance of addressing some remaining challenges, including public finance consolidation, a comprehensive tax reform, the restructuring of state-owned enterprises, deepening the regulatory reform, including competition policy, and improving the business environment, among others. Members welcomed the fact that trade policy was mainstreamed in Sri Lanka's development strategy and encouraged it to step up efforts to diversify export products and markets. In this connection, it was noted that export diversification was one of the areas identified by Sri Lanka for aid for trade assistance. Members noted that Sri Lanka's trade and investment regime is generally open. It was also noted that Sri Lanka's trade policy relies mainly on the use of price-based measures, while resort to non-tariff measures is relatively limited. Members commended Sri Lanka for lowering tariffs and eliminating 15% tariff surcharge in June 2010. However, they noted that the current average MFN tariff was higher than in the previous review. Members also expressed concern regarding the large number of charges and taxes on imports still in place, which resulted in higher border protection and added complexity to the trade regime. Members were also concerned about some 103 tariff lines that exceeded their bound rates. Sri Lanka was invited to increase the scope of its tariff bindings in the WTO. While acknowledging that Sri Lanka had started implementation of the WTO Customs Valuation Agreement during the review period, some members were worried that national legislation allowed for the discriminatory use of minimum values. Members sought further clarification on Sri Lanka's regulatory framework for sanitary and phytosanitary measures, as well as on technical regulations that apply to 100 tariff lines, including some agricultural products. Members questioned the rationale for granting tax concessions contingent upon export targets and encouraged Sri Lanka to streamline its investment incentive regime. Members noted Sri Lanka's use of domestic preferences in government procurement practices and encouraged Sri Lanka to consider the benefits of joining WTO government procurement agreement. They also encouraged Sri Lanka to step up enforcement of intellectual property rights and to adapt competition policy legislation. Acknowledging the importance of agriculture for Sri Lanka's economy, members recommended further efforts to reduce import protection, rationalize domestic support, and implement a more consistent trade policy so as to improve resource allocation and enhance productivity in agriculture. Members recognize Sri Lanka's liberalization efforts in a number of services activities, in particular in financial services and telecommunications, which had led to market expansion and increased competition. However, they noted that the state retained a long presence in some areas, including transport, infrastructure, and banking. Members thus encouraged Sri Lanka to renew efforts to advance regulatory reform, increase private sector participation, and establish a level playing field for new entrants. Let me conclude this review by congratulating Sri Lanka for its accomplishments during the last years, including high economic growth and improvements in living standards, and by keeping a generally open trade regime amidst difficult circumstances. The Trade Policy Review Body encourages them to continue on this path and address the remaining challenges identified in this review. The interesting questions raised and many interventions indicate members' interest in Sri Lanka's trade policy. And by the same token, the comprehensive answers provided by Sri Lanka are a reflection of the importance it attaches to the multilateral trading system, as expressed by Mr. Collier in his opening statement yesterday. I would once again like to thank the Sri Lankan delegation for their efforts, the discussion for her comments, and members for contributing to what has been a very enlightening 2 days of discussion.